All right, so on the phone I have Pat McGee, who has 20-plus years in the music industry, and he has been kind enough to take some time out of his extremely busy schedule and catch up with us about what's been going on in his world, his brand-new website, and he's also got a new record coming out in May. Pat, I'm going to let you just kind of give us some insight as to what you've got going on right now.
Well, I have a lot going on, so it's hard to know where to start with all that, but obviously the record is the focus. Long story short, this is my 10th album that I'm putting out, and I've been at this for about 20 years. I'm from Virginia. I've been living in Rhode Island for the last 14 years or so. And this record, which sort of started off as, I don't even think I was aware that it was going to be my 10th record, like it's any monumental moment or anything like that. But as I, you know, as I tend to approach most records, I kind of already know what my next record's going to sound like, which I haven't, I haven't even released this one yet, but you tend to go in a certain direction and you're kind of, I've always kind of stuck with that. Like I can sort of already envision it. And who knows if that'll come to fruition, but hopefully so in a couple of years, I'll be talking to you again about another record. But this one started off as like, hey, I just want to sort of, take a little departure from what I've done in the past, but also stay true to my roots and all that jazz. And a light bulb really went off for me when I happened to be at somebody's house, and they were spinning vinyl and playing an entire record, which is pretty rare these days at social gatherings that you'd let that someone wouldn't put a playlist of some sort on. So I just thought that was incredibly awesome that they were spinning vinyl, and it occurred to me, like, why the hell aren't I doing that? Because that's how I grew up listening to music, and I'm a huge music fan, obviously. So I went out to Best Buy the next day, got a record player, and bought a bunch of records that I remember holding in my hands as a young kid and loving the smell, the sound, the touch. Everything about it was awesome. So I dove back hardcore into vinyl, and now I have quite the collection. But started off with just like 10 or 15 records that I was obsessed with. For about a month, and I said, this is exactly the kind of record I want to make. I want to make a record that has all these sort of deep cuts to it, and that you listen to the whole thing, and it's not about a single. It's just about good songs, and a lot of stuff in the early 70s coming out of Southern California was exactly that. Like, every record was just packed full of amazing songs. It wasn't like a lot of records you got as you got into the 80s and even moving forward. It felt like you get a record that had a song or two on it, and the rest of it was just kind of fluff, but for certain artists anyway, not a blanket statement, but, you know, that felt like something that was really inspiring to me. So I wrote some songs that were very much core influenced by, you know, artists that I grew up worshiping, which is James Taylor, Jackson Brown, Eric Clapton, the Eagles, the Grateful Dead, the Allman Brothers, and those types of bands. So I really worked hard at crafting a song as best I know how. I hadn't done the solo writing thing in quite some time. It had been like years, almost 15 years since I'd done a record that was completely and solely written by me, which was exciting. So I stuck to that plan, and long story short, I was looking at these records and realizing the same musicians were on all these records, and how awesome would it be if I could just get the drummer to do it. And I found the drummer, and then with him came everybody else. So it's a very long story, but I basically ended up getting my dream band, the same guys who played on all these amazing records, to play on my record. So it was an incredible experience throughout the LA to record with these guys and just have them give me their stamp of approval about my songwriting, which is just so humbling. And now I have all new everything. I have a new agent. I got a new manager. Technically, I have a new label with myself. And then I went out and got myself a new website, courtesy of Audio Theme. And it's just an incredible thing. I mean, I've been trying to make a website like this since they invented websites back in like the late. Every time I made one, it always fell short. It was a disappointment. And it always had things that, you know, were not exactly how I wanted them to be. And this time around, it's, you know, audio team nailed it, and I couldn't be more psyched about it. So it feels good to be like, hey, go check out my website. I used to say that and cringe because it's like, oh, God. But now it feels like something I'm super proud of to go along with the record. And, you know, it just feels like everything's in line, you know. So I have, you know, a lot of tour dates planned this year. I'm heading back to the Middle East and Africa to land on an aircraft carrier out in the Arabian Sea to play for the Navy. We're going to be – we have a release date of May 15th for the record. We have a lot of touring planned this summer and the fall and all kinds of stuff going on.
Awesome. I know that our team is super excited with how well your site turned out too, so it feels good to hear that for sure.
Oh, it's just – yeah, super stoked about the website. It's like – super clean. I mean, if there's any way for a website to match the way my house looks, that's what the website looks like. It's really just, it's just great. I love it. I love it. I can't wait to share it with as many people as possible. So if the publicists do their job, a lot of people are going to be checking out that site.
Awesome. That's so great to hear. So I want to backtrack. You mentioned just a few moments ago about your technically new record label with just yourself, and a lot of people who are going to be listening to this, they won't quite know the story with your Kickstarter, and so why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, with the invention of Kickstarter, which at first I had to wrap my head around the fact that I was going to ask my fans for money. It just seemed so, like, un-rockstar. So, like, you got to wrap my head around playing that role, but then I thought, listen, if Eric Clapton or Robert Plant came to me and said, listen, do you want another Led Zeppelin record or do you want me to put Cream back together? And I'll do a record. Just give me $50 in advance. I would give them $500 to hear that.
Yeah.
So I get why fans would pay in advance. And what they don't tell you at Kickstarter is this sense of like, holy, you know, I have this army behind me of supporters going into making this record. That's what feels so great. I mean, we had that before, but it didn't feel the same way as it does this time. And it feels like the record label is myself and the fans. That's it. And it's a totally new ballgame now. They are privy to everything going on. They're going to get all the updates. And it's just such a cool way to do it. It really feels so organic, and I love that vibe.
Right. Yeah. And so the story is that if you backed Pat on his latest album, you got a pre-release of the album. And I have to say that it's been on repeat nonstop since I got it in my hand. And it's phenomenal. Like, I can't believe.
Thanks so much. Well, yeah, that's one of the cool things. Like, as soon as you sign up for Kickstarter, you're going to get the record way before anybody else. I mean, they got that thing last year. They're going to have it 6-7 months before it hits the streets. So that's pretty cool for them to be in the loop early on and know all the other updates that goes along with the studio process. I'm about to release a video from the studio, which I'm going to send to those guys first. And it's just, I appreciate the kind of word about the music.
Yeah. So as someone who has gone through, obviously, several different phases of your career, you know, I feel like you probably have a really good understanding of the ups and downs that are naturally part of the music business. What little piece of advice can you offer to a musician who's trying to make their name?
Well, I will not claim to be the genius at the forefront of all of the stuff on the web. But, you know, you hear people talking about how things boil down to live performance. And honestly, that's really what it does boil down to. That's what it boiled down to back in the day for me. And I think it still holds true. Getting a house gig to me was like the greatest thing we ever did. The band played every Tuesday night in Charlottesville, Virginia, and every Wednesday night in Richmond, Virginia. And that allowed us to hone our craft and build up fan base and do our thing. You know, we weren't up there playing covers every night. It was like we were playing our music and getting people sort of addicted to what we did. And they came back every week and it just built. And it allowed us to go out on weekends and travel as much as possible, which I know in Texas, if you're listening to this from Texas, it's pretty difficult. But when you're talking about the East Coast, man, there's a lot of towns every 45 miles. So you can really get out there and play a lot of different markets. And, you know, building it from a live standpoint, you know, is just so important, especially because nowadays people are taping everything, putting it on YouTube and putting it on the web and sites and all these different avenues for you to, like, put out there what you're doing. And I think it's important to, when you're playing, remember that someone is taping. And I used to tell myself, well, you got to play as if James Taylor just walked in the room and sat down at the back of the bar and he's staring at you. And you may think this gig sucks, but you got to blow this guy away right now. And you have to remember that even if there's six people there, they could change your career. I mean, we got a chance to play for the President of the United States because somebody had a gig that I swear had 10 people at it. They kept our number down. Like, back then we had business cards, and they kept their card and kept that card in their wallet until it came handy. And they said, listen, I've always wanted to hire you, and the President's going to love your music. So come on out and perform for the President. It was from a gig that meant to me nothing. And then I hear literally 7.5 years later, I remember that gig at the Kennedy Center parking lot. That's how I found you. I'm like, oh my God. So, you never know what can come out of a situation, but you know, I come from a live standpoint. I'm a big Grateful Dead, you know, Allman Brothers follower. Those guys play a ton of music. I mean, a ton of shows a year back in the day. And it's all about keeping it, you know, fresh and organic and every night doing something real, trying not to repeat the same thing, especially when it comes to, like, if you're on stage and you're having to talk to people on a microphone, just be yourself and don't try and come up with some sort of a shtick, because that stuff can wear on people and it gets old. And, you know, they're just like, oh, I've seen that before. If you're just yourself, then people really connect with that.
Right. I think that's great advice. You know, it seems to me that a lot of times musicians are just, you know, if I could just meet so-and-so, or if I could just do this and this, then my career would really take off. And
sure.
What I hear you saying is that it's kind of up to you to bring the value, and once you're doing that, something will start to happen.
It is. You absolutely, that's a great way to put it, is that you got to bring the value to what you're doing and you know, carve your own little mission and keep going with that. It's not trying to look at what someone else did and go, I'm going to do exactly that, because it never works out like that. Everyone's got a different story. And some of them are, like, super fast skyrocket to stardom, and some of them take, you know, forever. I mean, I feel like if I had the right team behind me, this record would be in consideration for Best New Artist, which is ridiculous because I've been doing this for 20 years. But nothing would make me laugh harder than to get some sort of award, whether it was a local thing or, like, it got on a Grammy level, would be, like, ridiculous. But, you know, it has the band to do it, that's for sure. And if enough ears hear it, you never know. Might squeak through.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think it's phenomenal. So I just, I think it'll definitely get a following behind it.
Hopefully, yeah, that's the goal.
See what it, yeah. All right, so for those of you who haven't heard any of Pat's stuff, you can find him on the web at patmcgee.net. And I'll throw a link to his site down below this little audio blurb. And he is running on our Knoll 2.0 theme. And Pat, can you give us some insight as to, like, maybe what you like so much about the site, or?
You know, what first struck me about all the different themes that you guys have, they're all just so clean and easy to understand. When you go to a site visually, you want to be captivated, and you want the information laid out really nicely, and you want it to be enticing. You want to click around and have things feel like they got a different vibe on every page. And even though it is WordPress, it doesn't feel like it. It feels like, man, this is like, I've never had people comment so many times on a site, you know, that is just so pleasurable to look at and to spend time in it. Because then, I mean, ultimately, that's what any artist wants. You want them to stay in your store. It's like your website is your store in the mall. If people leave your store, they're not buying anything. They're not buying the fact that they're not learning about you. They're not doing anything. So if you're a store in a mall, you want to somehow keep people in there. And you know, it's, you don't like to look at it as like, I'm selling myself, but ultimately that's what's going on. So, you know, whether or not you're selling the information or you're just saying, selling your story, or they don't necessarily have to click and buy or, you know, whatever, but they may learn about a show and tell someone. I get people that come to shows that like, they come to a show in Detroit and their son told them about the show because he was looking at the website when he was in like Spain. And it's just like, it just blows my mind. Like they call home and it's like, Dad, I know you don't look at the internet very much, but you got to go see my favorite band. They're playing in Detroit tonight. And, you know, I'm away on, you know, studying over in Spain, but I'm on top of this and I'm letting you know you need to check it out. So that information needs to be there. It needs to be easy to read. It needs to be easy to follow. And it's just great. And I've been blessed with so many fantastic photographers following me around for the last 20 years. So I have an arsenal of photographs and, you know, with this video that's going to be done, hopefully in the next few days, I'll put that up there and that thing will be awesome. So, it's just, there's just such a great streamlined vibe to the site. And, it's very easy to work with. It's very easy to navigate. And there's a lot of different options. And I like that, you know, you can kind of make it your own. You really can. So I'm thoroughly stoked.
Awesome. Well, I want to make sure I leave us enough time for you to kind of explain down the hatch a little bit. I feel like there might be a few people who could be really interested in that.
Sure. Yeah, I 6 years ago, I came up with this idea of hosting, you know, I guess you can call it a music festival. It technically is a bunch of musicians playing around the clock, so it's a festival-type atmosphere. But I'm a big fan of travel, cuisine, food and drink, like everything about being on the road. I love all of this, the discovery part of it. I love roaming through towns and checking out everything from, you know, the mom and pop shops to the restaurants to the, you know, landscape to whatever. And the Outer Banks of North Carolina is one of those places that's so unique. And I've been going there my whole life, but it just occurred to me, like, I should bring fans here and I should bring bands here and we should all hang out on the beach and have, like, essentially a backyard hang. And that's what this thing feels like. It feels like I've invited 250 people to the beach and we're just going to sit there and I'm going to play you my mixtape, but live in person, of all my favorite singer-songwriters that I've known over the last, you know, 15, 20 years. And some of them I'm just meeting for the first time, but I've seen them or they've opened for me. But no one comes to that event that I'm not like super proud to put up on a stage and say, listen, you're going to be blown away by this artist. And they get up there and do their thing and the jaws are on the floor. They just can't believe how great these artists are. They all do something so unique. And the fact that you're sitting in a beach chair with a beer in your hand while it's all going on, or a glass of wine and a lobster tail, it's like, this is incredible. So it's just a great hang. It's as casual as it gets as far as the music goes and the hang goes. And then at night we crank up and do full band shows. There's themes. You stay right in the hotel and you just, everything is right there. It's just an amazing time. And it's an experience you're going to go away from going, every vacation I've ever taken is lame compared to that thing. Like, it's just such a, if you love music and the people that go, just great, great people, great, great fans, very supportive, no like super fans really. It's like, it's all the most relaxed, music lover vibe that, you know, that you would want when you go to a show. People are very respectful of the artists, and the artists are excited to meet the fans. I mean, we do guitar lessons with fans. We do songwriting workshops. You know, we do all sorts of other stuff in addition to just playing. It's kind of an all-encompassing weekend.
Right. Well, it looks like a ton of fun. And there's a page on your site about it. So if someone wants to go check that out, there's descriptions and dates and links to buy tickets and all of that fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's something that I'd like to do more than once a year at various places around the country, but it is pretty time consuming in the planning process. So with a new record out, I'm going to take my time on this record and see where things take me. But I plan to do one in Rhode Island because Rhode Island's very unique. I live up here and it's just, I think people would dig it. I'd love to do one in Chicago and maybe one in, you know, Who knows? Hawaii, that'd be sweet. We'll see. I gotta be back to Texas too, so you never know.
Yeah, well, I'll be there this year, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that is just about it. Thanks for your time, Pat, and we'll speak soon.
Wonderful. All right, have a great night.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, bye.